In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On the eve of Jesus' arrest, when he'd eaten with his closest disciples, the 12 apostles, he spent some time with them, as described by St. John in his Gospel, as we've just heard, preparing them for what was to come, for his death and his resurrection, and for the future of his mission, which would now be their mission in him. We've heard something of what Jesus said in the Gospel reading this morning, trying to explain to Philip the nature of his relationship with God the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And he said, I'm going to the Father. But he also instructed his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But above all, he spoke of the way in which they would continue to be supported. I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. And he spoke of what the advocate would do for the disciples. He would teach them and remind them of everything they had learnt from Jesus himself. So this word advocate is one of several different translations in modern language interpreting the word paraclete in the original Greek. Another word is comforter, found in the Authorized, the King James Version of the Bible from 1611. So we hear Jesus in that version say to his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Another translation of that text, perhaps more accurate, is, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. But I like the idea of the Holy Spirit as a comforter. An advocate's a lawyer, someone who speaks for the accused, we might call the defense counsel. The place of an advocate is in a law court. Now, that may be worth thinking about. We shall stand before the judgment seat of God. We believe we shall be judged. How have we followed the commands of God? How far have we tried to love God, to do his will? Judgment will come. But the idea of the Holy Spirit as a comforter is more intimate, more homely. On the other hand, we mustn't imagine the idea of a comforter in terms of comfy slippers, a seat by the fire, a glass of wine, and a good book, or a television program. The modern word comfort has much less power than its original meaning, which is about strength, being strong with someone or something. Take one of the images from the Bayeux Tapestry, an embroidered cloth, 70 meters or 230 feet long and 50 centimeters or 20 inches tall, which depicts events leading up to the Norman conquest of this country in 1066. The abbey built by St. Edward the Confessor, consecrated on the 28th of December, 1065, the predecessor of this current 13th century church, features in the tapestry, as does the confessor himself, and of course William the Conqueror, William the First, who was crowned here on Christmas Day, 1066. The tapestry was commissioned in the 11th century by William of Normandy's half-brother, Bishop Odo of Bayeux. The individual scenes of the tapestry each have their own description in Latin. Bishop Odo was with the conqueror in the Battle of Hastings, wielding, being a bishop, not a sword or a spear, but a mace or club. Now that was capable of doing quite a deal of damage, but not piercing the skin. The Latin inscription for his image is Hic Odo Episcopus Baculum Tenens Confortat Pueros. Here, Bishop Odo, holding a club, comforts the boys, literally, presumably meaning the troops. Now, obviously, holding a club is not very comforting in the way that we now use the word comfort. A better version translates the Latin more accurately, gives strength to the troops, urges them on. So the idea of a comforter, the Holy Spirit, taking the traditional meaning of it, is about giving us strength. This isn't about consolation. It isn't about calming us down, but encouraging us, geeing us up, putting fire into our bellies. So perhaps we should find another word to describe the Paraclete, the one who both calls us and stands beside us, who encourages us. Perhaps a better word is strengthener, someone who strengthens us, challenges us, drives us on when we're fading, enables us to achieve something greater than we ever thought possible. We all need strength if we're to fulfill our potential as Christians. We're not to be faint-hearted, casual, occasional, but committed, dedicated, full on and up for it. A few days ago, there was a big ceremony at Southsea near Portsmouth. This was a couple of days after President Trump came here. That ceremony in Portsmouth marked the eve of the beginning of the D-Day landings in Normandy 75 years ago in 1944. The Queen was there with the Prince of Wales and President Trump at the end of his state visit to Her Majesty. The President of the French Republic was there too, President Macron, and representatives of the countries involved in that extraordinary, courageous, and successful enterprise led by General Dwight D. Eisenhower, the largest ever invasion of a foreign country. Incidentally, Angela Merkel was there as well, the German Chancellor. President Macron read part of a letter written by a 16-year-old member of the French Resistance, Henri Ferté, who was awaiting his execution by a Nazi firing squad. This is how he wrote to his parents as he awaited his final moment. This is my own translation. "My letter," he said, "is going to cause you a great pain. But I do not doubt that you are full of courage, which you will wish to preserve, if only for love of me." He's 16. "During these 27 days in a solitary cell, I have missed your love. I want a free France, a happy France. The soldiers are coming, looking for me. I'm not afraid of death. I die voluntarily for my country. Adieu, farewell. Death calls me. I don't wish to be blindfolded or tied to a stake. Je vous embrasse, I kiss you all. Even so, it's hard to die. 1,000 kisses." As I heard this letter read, I thought how easy and comfortable are our lives today. How hard it is for most of us to imagine the suffering and deprivation of those caught up in war or violence. We must both be grateful for our comparative peace and ease of life, and deeply aware of the pain and grief carried by so many people. So we need to be strengthened. We need to be given the courage to serve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do God's will. Only the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, can be our advocate, our comforter, our paraclete, can give us the strength we need if we're to live truly and clearly as Christians. After all, our world finds faith, our faith, strange and unusual. Too many people, certainly in this country, know little of faith. They've not so much rejected Christian faith as never having really tested it at all. Though, of course, the faith flourishes in many parts of the world. When the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, who, remember, had been afraid and hidden away for 50 days since the death and resurrection of our Lord, they received new strength. Then they came out of hiding to proclaim to all who would hear them the wonderful truth of God's love revealed in the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Now, they weren't afraid. They were bold. They were completely careless of what they might suffer. And they faced their death. The Roman authorities put most of them to death. But still, the message went out and has gone on going out ever since. The message reached us, thank God. So may we have this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God with strength so that we can fearlessly proclaim the wonderful truth of God's power and God's love. Amen.